Whatever you think about legal marijuana, it's difficult to defend the current prohibition of the weed. 4 decades of the war on drugs has been an abject failure, just like the early 20th century ban on alcohol. Is there another law, except for speeding on Route 95, that Rhode Islanders scoff at as widely as the anti-pot laws? The system's rigged against minorities, particularly young black men. A 2013 study by the American Civil Liberties Union of Rhode Island showed that blacks in our state are 2.5 times more likely to be arrested for pot possession than whites. The proportions are even more uneven in parts of the state that have tiny minority populations. Today's pot ban has put the country in thrall to murderous Mexican drug cartels, wasting police time and taxpayer money chasing and prosecuting frivolous crimes. Perhaps the worst result is that, like alcohol prohibition, the current system breeds widespread disrespect for the government. And it doesn't keep weed out of the hands of minors. As Republican House Leader Brian Newberry points out, quote, "Talk to any high school kid and they'll tell you it's easier to get pot than alcohol." Newberry supports legalization, but other General Assembly leaders have not seriously considered this course. That may be changing. House Speaker Nick Mattiello of Cranston, a longtime opponent of legalization, is becoming, quote, "more open-minded," says his spokesman Larry Berman. The reason for Mattiello's change of stance is the opportunity for state government to reap tax dollars in the same manner as Colorado. That state's regulated marijuana system generated more than $135 million for the state in 2015, according to the Colorado Department of Revenue. More than $35 million was dedicated to school construction projects. Doesn't the Ocean State need money to fix our crumbling schools? Providence Representative Scott Slater and Cranston Senator Josh Miller have introduced, for the 5th consecutive year, a measure that would legalize and regulate recreational marijuana in a manner similar to Colorado. Miller has 17 co-sponsors in the 38-member Senate, including Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero of Providence. Slater says he has 30 supporters in the House, and he's working to get more. While Rhode Island lawmakers talk about making pot legal, our neighboring states are moving beyond the chattering phase. In Vermont, Governor Peter Shumlin backs legalization. On Friday, the Vermont Senate's Finance Committee approved the governor's bill by a 6-1 vote. Massachusetts voters face a statewide referendum in November on making pot legal. The state has already sent a delegation of lawmakers to Colorado to study their system. Connecticut, too, is considering legislation. If Massachusetts approves legal pot, there's no way to stop Rhode Islanders from popping over the border to buy it. We know this from our experience with alcohol. When Massachusetts voters dropped wine and beer taxes several years ago, liquor stores in the Ocean State lost so much business that our state was forced to follow suit. Massachusetts borders 4 New England states, so when the Bay State pot domino falls, others will, and quickly. Legal pot may have advantages beyond revenue. A regulated dealer, argues Senator Miller, is far less likely to sell marijuana to a child than the black market dealers who sell not only weed, but much more dangerous substances such as opioids and cocaine. Some law enforcement officials continue to oppose legalization. They have some points, especially the need to develop better methods of detecting pot impairment levels in motorists. Raimondo and the General Assembly leadership must tackle this issue in a serious manner. Failure to grasp this reality would mean sitting idly by while our recreational pot users pour their taxes into fixing roads and schools in other states.